Let's talk about a fascinating documentary that's been made. It's fascinating to watch and also to watch where it goes from here. The documentary is called Guilty, and it tracked the final 72 hours of Myuran Sukumaran, who was executed overseas in a case that almost every Australian might never forget. Let's, before we speak to the co-writer and producer of the documentary, which is about to go and be played and screened in Taiwan, of all places, let's get a snippet from Guilty.
Dearest Mum, I wanted you to have a son that you would be proud of.
I am profoundly dismayed that the Indonesian authorities have given Mr. Chan and Mr. Sukumaran 72 hours notice of their executions.
You don't go trafficking drugs in countries where there is the death penalty.
These boys made a horrendous mistake, and now they just want to slaughter them.
They're criminals. They're drug smugglers.
It's just gut-wrenching. It's
barbaric.
Mm. I have no sympathy whatsoever for them.
There is no excuse in a civilised world for the death penalty.
Maggie Miles is the co-writer and producer of that doco, and she's listening to that trailer, I dare say, as if you're listening to it for the first time. You must be so invested in this film and where it goes from here.
It took me back. We worked very, very closely with Raji Sukumaran, who's Myuran Sukumaran's mother. Mm. Myuran did write many letters in his last few days, and that was a replication of the letter that Myuran wrote to his mother.
Mm. Myuran Sukumaran was a member of the Bali Nine and tried very hard over a long time to have his sentence changed from the death penalty. In the end, it was inevitable that those final 72 hours. What can you tell us about the heart of your film?
Yeah, that was an extraordinary story because Myuran Sukumaran and Andrew Chan were fully rehabilitated men at the time of their executions. And many extraordinary lawyers and other people worked very hard to try and change the course of events. The film focuses on the extraordinary artwork that Myuran painted throughout his time in prison, and particularly in the last 72 hours, which is why we focus on Myuran's story and not Andrew's, even though his was equally extraordinary.
Yeah.
And so during the last 72 hours, after Myuran had been asked to sign his own death warrant, and he had stood up and asked for specific things to be included in that death warrant that spoke not only of the facts of the case, but also the remarkable things that he had achieved in prison. And
how did you approach making this documentary from really one side? And that was his story. I mean, it's been done very effectively. That's basically what the Australian story has done for so long as well. How did you approach it, given that these were grave crimes committed?
They were. Obviously, the film is called Guilty, so we don't hold back from that.
Yeah.
They were guilty. They committed crimes. They also had extraordinary lives and achieved a lot in the prison. There's no doubt from the many people I've spoken to that Myuran Sukumaran was a fully rehabilitated man. And so we focused on the loss of life and the human cost of the death penalty through Myuran's artwork. Mm. Ben Quilty was one of Myuran's key tutors. There's an archive of Ben tutoring Myuran in the prison. Ben Quilty and Michael D'Agostino of the Campbelltown Arts Centre Gallery put on a posthumous exhibition of Myuran's work as part of the Sydney Festival in 2017. We filmed there, and that exhibition is the final scene in our documentary. The director, Matthew Sleeth, worked alongside Ben Quilty in some of those art workshops in Karobakan Prison, and so he had a personal relationship with Myuran.
At what point does this become a documentary that is in part made to create change in parts of the world that still have the death penalty?
Well, we're lucky enough to be part of the Extraordinary Good Pitch Initiative, which is Documentary Australia Foundation and Shark Island Institute, who recently put out the Adam Goods documentary, The Final Quarter.
Yes.
And so working with Good Pitch, we worked with a coalition of human rights partners who influenced the development of the film, and also now we're working very closely with on the rollout of the campaign around the film.
Mm. Trying for change in different countries, and you're going to Taiwan Tell us about that trip. You're leaving on the weekend.
I am. It's the first country in which the death penalty still exists that we will be screening the film.
Have you applied to other countries?
We're in a strong conversation with Justice Project Pakistan, with Project 39A in India. And so we're working with an organisation here called Capital Punishment Justice Project, based out of Australia. Julian McMahon, who was Myron and Andrew's lawyer, is the president of that organisation.
Yeah.
And so we're working with local organisations in countries where the death penalty is still retained.
Okay. And what have you done to the film to screen it in Taiwan? You've had to make some censorship decisions.
Well, I was concerned about the censorship process. We had to have the Chinese subtitles created, which was terrific. But I think our cultural considerations in making the film enabled us to get through that censorship process. We focus on the beauty of Myron's art and his incredible spirit, which really exists way beyond his life.
How do you make a film, assuming that you might have to cut pieces out if you're going to show it in different countries? That's and specifically, what did you not put in the program?
There were many creative choices made.
Yeah.
And the director, Matt Sleeth, wanted to focus on the final 72 hours, so we narrowed down to that period of time. We thought it was important to include archives, so there's a lot of archive, but only enough to set the context of the family story and the case itself.
Mm.
And so we don't dig into the case and look into the ins and outs of what happened and how it happened.
How does that meet the sensitivity issues that other countries might have, like Taiwan?
I think it plays in our favour.
Yeah.
Because we don't dig into the merits or otherwise of the legal system.
Yeah, okay. So you're not sitting in judgment of the country that you're visiting.
It was very important for us to do that. Obviously, they were executed in Indonesia, and we wanted to make a film that spoke to the human cost of the death penalty around the world.
Yeah.
And not just of one specific country.
They're all different, the countries that still have the death penalty on the books, and some might have it and not have executions for several years at a time, depending on who's in charge. What are you ultimately hoping to achieve?
Well, I attended the World Congress for Abolition of the Death Penalty in Brussels in February, which is a triennial event.
And you showed your film there?
We did, yep. Indeed. It was extraordinary. It was held at the European Parliament, and there were thousands of people who committed to work towards abolition of the death penalty. If you think about it, that's not going to be achieved in their lifetimes. And so we witness here human rights activists, lawyers working incrementally towards change. And we are lending the voice of our film to their work.
Yeah, I think it's so admirable that you've done that. I also think I'm not a big fan of censorship at all, but you've clearly made a decision that having people view the film and understand the story is the most important thing. So,
and it's important that we speak to countries that still retain the death penalty, and that we speak to people who perhaps believe that it's a good thing. There's no point in just speaking to people who already feel that the death penalty is not something that should exist.
People who want to watch the film in Australia, how can they see it?
Madman Entertainment is our distributor, and at the time of the next anniversary of the executions, we're going to be releasing the film online and via DVD, and that's April next year.